Hello and welcome to Traeger Method Podcast, episode number 70. If you haven't figured it out by now, this episode is a Jason solo episode. It's just me and a microphone. No guest. You got the music, the ethereal music. That indicates that it's one of these style episodes. What I'm going to do, what I've been doing now, every other episode is going to be one of these. You get a music person interview episode and then one of these. If you don't like these, erase every other episode. Nothing is being taken away. You still get the wonderful conversations, stories, music history with many people I know and love. But you also get these episodes. And they can be anything I want. Probably going to be shorter than the interview episodes. Maybe even a lot shorter. Microsodes. They might skew funny. They might be stories, philosophical, guided meditations, non-duality talk. I don't know. They're just going to be whatever. It's the Traeger Method Podcast. I mean, that's what I named it. I didn't name it the Punk Rock History Podcast. It's the Traeger Method Podcast. So I'm going to honor that here in season 3. I thank you so much for listening, for supporting the podcast. It'd be hard to do a guided meditation. Did you hear that siren or a car horn rather? In this particular room, not super chill. But, yeah. So tonight I am about to go see Peter David Connolly's band, the Monoreals, previous Traeger Method guest, Peter David Connolly, playing here in Portland where I am. Monoreals, one of my favorite bands. So naturally, you would assume I'm super stoked. Get to go see them tonight. But I have to say, the amount of desire that I have to go to the show, I'd put at about a zero. A goose egg. I want to see the band. I want to support the band. I want to say hi to Peter. But, you know, I don't want to drive downtown. I don't want to park. I don't want to walk over there. Going by myself. It's dark, it's rainy, it's cold. It's going to be loud. I'll be standing the whole time. What about the other bands? What are they going to be like? A lot of variables and uncertainties. A lot more than if I just stayed home and watched YouTube videos. Am I going to be wearing a mask the whole time? Probably. That's also not pleasant, you know? That's just, it's not bad, but it's not something you relish and look forward to. But I know a ton of people with COVID. Sean Kelly has COVID right now. I don't want to bring it up to my mom when I go visit her. So I'll probably just wear the mask. But I'm going. Because I know I'll have a good time. Well, statistically, I imagine I will have a good time. Because I've been doing this thing for a year or two, where when I feel great resistance to doing something, I note the resistance, note the fears attached to that resistance, then I do the thing anyways, then I examine what the experience was actually like compared to what I was fearing. And I gotta say, I'd say something like 90% of the time, I'm glad I did it. I'm better for having done it, gone out to the show or whatever. the activity might be that I was resistant to. Yeah, you got to work a little harder for things. You got to push through the resistance. But, you know, you get to be around people, see music. Allow yourself to get surprised potentially by something. If you don't go out, you don't get that surprise. So I'm pushing through. Now, I remember last episode like this on New Year's was split overnight. I did part of the episode one day and then came back the next day and finished it. So what I'm going to do with this one is I'm going to stop recording here pretty soon, go to the show, and then I'll pick back up after the show and tell you what it was actually like. And if I was glad I went, if I'm glad I went, if future me is glad he went, you will hear that. Okay. So at this point, I'm going to say goodbye for now. I'll see you after the show. And now I am back. Future me, rather, is here. Well, he was future me last night. Now he's present me, kind of. I'm back. That what you just heard, that was a little snippet of the Monoreals playing last night. That was a live recording made by my girlfriend Lily, who came with me to the show. So right there, I thought I was going to go by myself. That was my picture of the night, but that changed. She's decided, I do want to go. Let's go to the show. So that right there made it totally different than I had pictured when I was imagining my grim experience. We went together. It was nice. Got downtown. Yeah, it was very, you know, cold. Downtown Portland is, you know, we walked past some pretty dire scenes of people who looked like they were overdosing on fentanyl. Streets are... We had to move the car one time. We parked it and then walked away and thought, nah, I don't know about that spot. If we come out with a broken windshield or, you know, broken window, that would be a bummer. So let's move it to a spot with a little more chance of it not... It didn't happen. Our car did not get broken into, but we did move it. Walked to the venue. Dante's, hadn't been there in years. Wasn't very full. You know, when I got in there, we were a little early. Didn't wear a mask because there's hardly anyone in there when we first got there. And it's high ceilings. Seemed, you know, like a reasonable thing not to wear a mask in that situation. So I didn't. Had a slice of pizza. That's always a treat. Dante sells pizza. Mediocre pizza, still pretty good, you know? Sat with Lily. We talked before the band started. Monoreals were first. So, you know, I wasn't in for a marathon night. It was nice. Sat there waiting for the band to start. We were talking, joking around. Somehow we got on the subject of Mick Jagger and whether or not he plays golf. Lily was adamant that, yes, Mick Jagger would play golf. Can't you picture him with a bunch of rich guys out on the links, dressed in, you know, yellow slacks, playing golf? And I was like, no, I cannot picture that. That does not enter. It is not at all. It's not correct. No, he does not play golf. I'd bet my life on it. She's like, you know, if I got online right now and found, looked for an image, I would find tons of images of him playing golf with a bunch of other rich guys. And I was like, no, you won't. Do it. He's not a golfer. It's weird how that is. Like, I know he's not a golfer. And I don't know why. you know, there's other unlikely golfing rock people that I could picture, like Iggy Pop wearing something. You know, somebody said Iggy Pop plays golf, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I can see that. He lives in Florida. You know, you could see him wearing goofy golf clothes, hanging with some rich guy. I don't know. Yeah. Iggy's weird enough. Yeah, maybe he plays golf. Mick Jagger? No, I was sure. And you know what? She looked it up. She could. She did find one photo of him and Keith Richards, like, messing around on a golf, near a golf, you know, on a golf course in like 64 or 5 or something, you know? So I stand by what I'm saying. That's it. She found nothing else. So I was correct. He does not play golf. That was a one-off in his youth. Probably just some photo op or whatever. How did I know he doesn't play golf? I don't know why. I just knew it. David Bowie, would he play golf? I don't think so. But he's still less. I'm less certain about that than I am about than I was about Mick. Saw the band. The band was fantastic. Just, they were awesome. It's fun to watch them playing. Think about. Let the mind wander, you know, as it does when you're seeing live music. Got me excited about tone, sound. I play guitar. His guitarist, really good. I don't know his name, but man, he's good. That band, they at one point, the guitarist and bass player, those two guys, they pull out a trombone and a saxophone for the last song they did. Without Love was the closer. So beautiful. And, you know, when they pull out the sax and the trombone and those guys know how to play, it was amazing. Just to do that once in a set, like, oh, shit. These dudes could have been playing horns the whole time and they just, for one song, whip it out. Amazing. And Peter's voice on that last song, Without Love. If you don't know the song, you should listen to it, Without Love by the Monorails, where he hits those high notes. It's not a place to be. So clear and... It was awesome. Totally glad I went. After the show, went over, or after their set, went over to say goodbye to Peter because we were leaving. We didn't stick around for the other. I don't feel guilty for not sticking around to see the other bands. I just, you know, come on. I went out. The fact that I did it gave me permission to leave when I felt like it. I wanted to be home. Best of both worlds. So anyways, we were talking to Peter and our friend, my friend, Nate Ashley, was there. I hadn't seen Nate in a while, long time. Musician, Nate Ashley, I believe he's from Anacortes, but he lived in Olympia for a while. Saw Nate, was talking with him, catching up, and Lily knew Nate. And I was thinking, I don't know, this is my girlfriend Lily. She also knew Nate. And I was like, how do you, you know, afterwards, I was like, how do you know Nate? She's like, well, how do you know him? I explained how I knew him. She explained how she knew him. She told me that she met him when he was the roommate of a guy she was dating. And I asked her, which guy was this? Because she's told me about most of her past relationships. I always joke around and say, of your many and varied lovers, who was this? Your M and V L's. The many and varied lovers of your life. Which one was this? And she said, it's one of the weirdest guys I ever dated. And kept dating. She's like, I dated a lot of weirdos for like one or two times. But this was the weirdest guy that I ever continued dating. And I asked her, well, what was so weird about the guy? And she said, well, here's two things that spring to mind. The first date we went on, he was wearing his shirt inside out and backwards. First date. He had the tag, you know, sticking out under his chin. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty weird. It's a weird style choice. And she said, well, the weirdest thing isn't that was an eccentric who did that on purpose. It was the fact that when I pointed it out to him, she told me, he was surprised to find out he was wearing his shirt inside out and backwards. He did not notice that he had put on his shirt inside out and backwards. And we both agreed that, you know, one of those things you could kind of overlook, like, he put it on inside out. Okay, sure. It has the, you know, maybe a pattern that's not really apparent when you do that or whatever. That's fine. Backwards, you know, maybe the collar doesn't feel backwards, you know, when you put it on. Okay, sure. But inside out and backwards on a first date? It's weird. The second story that came to mind is she said, and he put way too much ketchup on his food. Like an absurd amount of ketchup. I was like, well, how much ketchup? She said, let's put it this way. He used almost an entire full bottle of ketchup on a serving of French fries. Like equal ratio between the ketchup and the fries. Like he formed almost another dish because he used so much ketchup. I was like, okay, that also is strange. She said, but I did not, you know, as weird as this guy was, I did not break up with him. He broke up with me. She said, I was interested in finding out more. They dated for like 2 months, she said. She said he was very concerned about her thinking of not pinning him down. Like she said he was very clear many times, like, I am not looking for a long-term relationship. If we, you know, have sex, it doesn't mean I don't want you to think that I want this to be an ongoing thing. Like, I want you to know that I am not looking to be pinned down. I do not want to be in a long-term relationship. I do not want to commit to anything. He was very clear about that. And she was like, okay, what makes you think I'm that way? That I'm thinking that. All right. And then she pointed out at a certain point, he did just dump her. She was like, okay, great, fine, whatever. And then the next person he dated married and a kid within a few months, like, you know, just boom, and moved to a small town in Washington and became a cop. And she was like, to tell you how strange, having known this guy for, you know, whatever amount of time, a couple months, how weird it was that he became a cop. Like, she said, it would be like you becoming a cop. That's how unexpected it was that he made this turn. So that was how she knew Nate Ashley. Nate lived with this guy. And I don't know this guy. I'm not, you know, I doubt this person is a Traeger Method listener. But if you're out there, officer, thank you for dumping Lily, for throwing her back in the pool, because I'm really happy, very, very profoundly happy that I get to call her my girlfriend. Thank you. I would have had none of these stories had I just stayed home and watched YouTube videos or whatever. So, yes, again, the data has been collected. I am very, very glad that I went last night. If you ever get a chance to see the monorails, go. Get out of bed, put on your galoshes, and go downtown or wherever they're playing and see the band, because they're fantastic. And extend that to all the other things. Just try that this year. Push through the resistance. I know this is a very middle-aged thing to have to do, but push through the resistance to go out and do stuff and just take that spin. All right, and with that, I'm going to wrap up this mini-sode. We're clocking in under 20 minutes this week. Next week, I'll be back with a new conversation. Thank you so much for listening, for supporting the podcast, for being you. We'll see you again next time. Goodbye.